Yeah, what would NBL pop?
Three ball from CG43. They're in front.
This is flat out ridiculous. From the beautiful left hand, in and out finish, the old fashioned way.
Newell gets to the basket with one to come. From there again.
Everybody, NBL Pocket Podcast, Thursday, 22nd of February at about 11 o'clock p.m. on the East Coast. Canyon's on the other side of the country, and we're talking NBL basketball. Canyon, how you doing?
Oh, I'm doing good. Hopefully I'm sounding crisp and clear and amazing with my new internet. Fiber to the home, baby.
Sounded like a euphemism, fiber to the home. Could be. What are we talking about today? I'll tell you what we're talking about. We're looking at the awards. We're looking at the play-ins, the playoffs. We've got a few funky questions like, you know, some people give out coach of the year. Well, here at NBL Pocket Pod, we give out the worst coach of the year. Ha, ha, ha. We're all having fun. And then we're going to give grade team grades or season grades and forecasts for the bottom four, the teams that didn't make the what sometimes is referred to as the finals, what is sometimes referred to as the play-in or playoffs. It's hard to tell anymore. This league changes its mind all the time. And then we're going to make some predictions and then we're getting out of here, can you?
Sounds like a good rundown as we head into the FIBA break. Oh, actually, that's a good point. The Boomers played tonight, didn't they?
They did. They beat, Korea?
Was it a handy margin? Like, I've been without internet as my internet has switched over.
They won. All I wanted to know was it a win? Yeah, I think it was pretty handy. The funny thing is, guess who started a point guard?
Ben Henschel.
Mitch McCarron.
Okay.
Can't start for his own team, can start for the country. Well, the B Boomers anyway. Listen, Canyon, we came to the end of the NBL 24 regular season. Yeah. It's in the books. Done. Over. It's in the past. We've done the hard yarns. We're on the home stretch. I want to ask you this simple question. Does the season, by whatever metric you want to go by, get a thumbs up or a thumbs down from you?
It gets a thumbs up.
Why?
Started slow. I felt the season was a bit of a struggle. But as it went on, there was enough interest in terms of sort of off-court shenanigans to keep me interested. Mm-hmm. And there was enough competitive tension right up to the end, and the whole ladder, who's going to make it where on the ladder, kept me interested from a standings point of view. So overall, I'm giving it a thumbs up. I can go into more detail on each of those if you wish, but
well, I think I would also give it a thumbs up. It was a good season, and you're right when you say it started slow and really was salvaged by a couple of things: the Wildcats and Bryce Cotton improving their form, and then the Hawks, because before that you had a dead spot in the schedule with the Hawks. They were horrible, and then all of a sudden that one team infused so much interest in the second part of the year because they just kept winning, kept knocking teams off, beat Melbourne, beat big teams, and totally reshuffled the ladder, because for their time there, it was looking like Melbourne were going to be the only team to, you know, 18-plus wins, and then it kind of leveled back out. So it was all good. I want to ask you this.
Oh, sorry. No, go. Yeah, please. I was going to say, there was a good spread of dysfunctional teams through the year.
Yeah.
Like, and I think that's key to my enjoyment of the league these days. I want to watch somebody and just, because something terrible is going to happen. And so we had at the beginning, we had the Wildcats that were absolutely shocking.
Yep.
They weren't on the same page. Fun to watch. Then we had the Hawks. Terrible watching. Adelaide were absolutely... It was just... What mistakes are Jacquemus and CJ going to make this week in their coaching? And then we moved on to the whole Cairns thing. It's like, what are they doing? And yeah, Brisbane started to fall apart. You know, it's just kind of...
Brisbane lost all those close games. That's right.
Yeah, yeah. So I just kind of liked it from a point of view. Oh, and of course, Sydney. Sydney is just like, it's so much fun to watch. What's the how frantic is the coach going to look this week? So there's a lot of that kind of stuff that was fun.
And then Southeast Melbourne, obviously, just kind of, what are they going to be? And then they just totally get injured and bottom out. Unbelievable. I want to ask you this. Have the NBL games this season and it as a product and the secondary media created by the league given the league more or less credibility over last season? And does it give them more credibility at the negotiating table at the end of the season over their TV rights, which, as people who have listened to this know, that their deal with, I believe, ESPN News Corp Foxtel, whatever you want to call it, elapses, and now they're negotiating that space. Do you think they've got, what do you think in that space? As a commercial product, NBL on the table, thumbs up, thumbs down, powerful, not powerful?
Well, I'd probably call it a push on last year, like basically about the same, I think, Joe.
Okay.
It felt a bit forced, like they were pushing their own media so hard that sometimes it felt like it wasn't earned media at all. It was just incessant self-promotion. And it was kind of, they did a good job with it. Like, I think they're almost daily podcasts. I don't know what their numbers were on those things, but I thought they were pretty well done for the whole. But does it help them negotiate? Does it move them up to the big table in Australian sports? I don't think they're there yet.
I just think, here's my worry for the NBL. The ratings on the Super Bowl were just that big. And obviously the Taylor Swift impact, you know. The NFL has more cultural relevancy in Australia. This peculiar game, far-flung, played away, has greater TV numbers than the A-League. It has greater numbers than and it's because it has the Taylor Swift element.
It's a one-off, though, as well. But,
like, I don't know that it is. Last year's Super Bowl had massive numbers on 7, mate, on a Monday at midday. So, no, I don't think it's a flash in the pan.
That's a one. People aren't tuning into the NFL week in, week out.
I don't know. I think they honestly may. In a number comparable to the NBL, I really do, Kenyon. I just think Australians understand a game on grass. You know, like, I don't think they get this wooden stuff. They just don't. Certainly not a certain demographic. They just don't get it. They're like that. That's for ballroom dancing, not for. I don't know what these people think. So I don't know. I have to hand it. You know, Corey Homicide Williams gave a great speech at the awards. They miss him. His talent was good. He had his own orbit. He brought young fans in, and they missed him. And they tried to replace him, but I just. As you say before, a bit forced, they didn't have that real loud, he was just a fireball presence and fired up teams and got people's reactions. And he was missed and then very much enjoyed at the awards. So they did well. I've always enjoyed the stuff the NBL puts out, its own media, especially its socials. I think I read a report the other day that the NBL is one of the fastest growing Instagram accounts in Australian sport. You know, you can only look at these metrics. Growing on Instagram is not a trivial matter. You know, that's
I wish they would grow on Mastodon. That's where I want to see them.
They've totally neglected, to the people at the NBL HQ, you have totally neglected that platform, and it's going to be big. The question, I guess, is where does the NBL sit in that negotiation, and where does Foxtel sit? I mean, Foxtel, to let everyone know, Foxtel has about 4.7 million subscribers. 1.4 million are on KO, and then 1.5 million have the actual Foxtel set box, whatever you want to call it. Just a reminder, though, the Australian population is set to hit about 27, 28 million next year. So selling your rights to that company, you're only getting a baked-on sports fan, yes, but you're neglecting a whole slew of people who could be interacting with your product. So where does the NBL sit in its negotiation? Where does the TV, people who want its TV rights sit? Really, that's going to be fascinating. And also, I hate to bore it down with this, but you know, the A-League signed this bloated contract. Channel 10 and Paramount can't get off it, even though the ratings are just in the toilet, in the cistern of the toilet. They couldn't be.
And Paramount itself, Paramount Plus, has got all sorts of financial issues. That company is in a world of hurt and potentially even shopping it around. So, and that's at the international billion dollar kind of area. But Paramount Plus is that whole thing is a basket case.
Basket case. And speaking of basket case, let's get back to basketball. Off basketball. The awards, did you watch a second? I'm going to preempt your answer. I think you didn't.
Interesting. I think you did. Obviously you did. You saw the Homicide speech. So I did until a point. Okay. I was like, watching it, and I thought this is pretty bad. Like, this is painful watching, but I'm going to stick with it.
And you watched the Gazies?
Wait. I watched it, and I got to the point where they had that. Was he a comedian?
I was a magician.
Oh my god! At that point, I watched his first probably his first 4 minutes.
I didn't get the punchline of the magic. I didn't actually understand what was the sleight of hand. I didn't get it.
Well, I at that point, I was like, this is too shit. I'm out.
There's nothing more disgusting than bad magic.
Oh, man. He wasn't funny, and he was trying to correct you. And you could just, I don't know if maybe he did have the crowd. I didn't get a feeling that he had the crowd at all. I think everybody was like, what the fuck is this guy? That was terrible. And so, NBL, if you saw your stream numbers drop at that point, one of those people was me, just going, no, I can't do this. I'm sorry. So I missed all the good stuff after that.
Yep. Can I just say, I didn't watch a second of the broadcast, the live broadcast. I followed it all on Twitter. I just wanted to see who won the awards. And that's not true. After the fact, everyone I saw on Twitter, everyone was like, oh, this magician, this is so cringe. I had to go and see it. So I did go back. I went to YouTube about the next morning and said, who's this magician? And had to see for myself. But, you know, it was an award show. It's people within a company giving their own employees awards. Like, they're always cringe and terrible. Watched the award. No, I just followed on Twitter, got the awards. Homicide Speech was put up on Twitter. So they did a great job of taking the best bits and putting up on social. So congratulations. But as far as actual, I did not see a single award get announced. I just looked at all the graphic tiles on X and enjoyed it.
Yep.
So that was it.
Well, I think NBL may be carrying on the tradition of having something to hate watch. They had a magician.
Hey,
you tuned in and hate watched the magician.
I didn't understand it. I didn't get it. I didn't hate it. I just thought I was perplexed. I was bemused, which I guess is what a magician tries to do. Like, maybe this guy's met a magician where, you know, some guys do genuine sleight of hand to sort of bamboozle and impress, whereas this guy just thought, no, I'm just going to genuinely make people feel uncomfortable. Listen, let's go Coach of the Year.
Okay.
Vickerman won it. Any issue with you?
Yeah. Tatum should have won it.
Oh, you're blunt about it. Go on, because I don't hate you. So you're angry about the award, or hate it?
I'm not
just
angry
like
with that. You can mount a fair and reasonable argument that Vickerman won it. Like, he had that team. They missed playoffs last season. They're back in top of the ladder this season. Well done on up the front all season. Well done. Also, just rocking a very solid roster.
Yeah,
very solid.
So, Ian Clark. Ian Clark and Golding and JLA. I mean, who's in that Illawarra front? Like, Blanchfield gets 15, 20 minutes a game for Illawarra.
Like, Vickerman's a very good coach, but he has always had very good squads. He's a bit in the Gorgian mould, you know? Like, always has the horses. Mm. So how good a coach is he, really?
Are we doing any NBL bias here? Where I did believe that there was no chance Tatum was going to win it. New guy to the league. Oh, there's the dishwasher. New guy to the league. And I just never thought anyone was going to outvote Vickerman, because it's awkward when you've voted for someone else and then you got to ask Vickerman for a post-game interview. Like, it's just not going to happen. I just knew it was going to be Vickerman. It's also like, what is the criteria of NBL Coach of the Year? You know, is it sort of storyline driven? Do they take into consideration the roster, or is it just purely this guy won more games, this guy dealt with more injury? I never know the criteria on these things.
No, but it fluctuates from season to season.
And it fluctuates from season to season. But for me, I look at who did better with the worst team or the lesser team, and that was definitely Tatum. The rosters aren't even comparable. But
I also look at what, like, Vickerman might have him picked on the edge, X's and O's, but Tatum turned a program around.
Mm.
He had a bunch of disenfranchised dudes, and he turned that whole thing around to the point where they're loving life.
Mm,
what's that? That's got to be worth something.
Can I make a case for Shula?
You can try.
I'm not going to. He was never going to win this award. But that team, man. I mean, 8th in defensive rating, 7th in offensive rating. Nothing jumps off the page. But listen to the spare parts on that team. Nathan Sobey, good player, right? Got a reputation. Bannon just came out of nowhere.
Surprise. Yeah, he was.
Whose radar was he on?
I thought he was an import at first. He was.
He was terrific, but he missed time. He missed 9 games this year, or missed, or wasn't on the roster, or whatever the hell. Chris Smith was their import. Harrison, who's been there for years and had the best year he's ever had. McDaniel, set aside player from, I want to say, the Jack Jumpers. What else have I got? Aaron Baines missed 5 games. He was a disruption all year. Yep. Shula dealt it really well. Norton was a cast off from Perth, rather famously. Isaac White, a cast off from a couple of teams now, had a good season. And then DJ Mitchell missed a whole bunch of games. He only played 15 games. Scott missed games. Rockhammer. Like, who are these people? And they finished with a with the same record as fifth place Sydney. I just wanted... I don't think you should have won Coach of the Year. Of course not. Mm. But I want to give a big toot of the horn and a tip of the cap to Shula. I thought he was really, really good.
That's a good... Yeah, I mean, he must be doing something right. If he could get Sobey to actually sort of become a team player to some extent. Like, Sobey still went hero
Sobey was
ball.
A team player up until still about the last 4 minutes of any close game. And then it was...
Only so much one coach can do, right?
Yeah.
But it's a good point. And basically, the Brisbane Bullets played without any imports and without a marquee player.
Sobey, I'm going to call marquee.
Okay. But Baines is the official marquee, isn't he?
Yeah, I would think so.
But they're all duds.
Well, Baines had a bad year. I mean, this
as did all their imports.
Oh, well, their biggest problem was 3-point shooting. Like, they were no threat from the outside. But we'll go into that. I want to go to, let's give out our NBL Pocket Podcast Worst Coach of the Year Award. Are there two? I've got two candidates. You know the two candidates. Is there a third I'm not considering?
You see, everybody, well.
Oh, of course. There are three.
I've got four.
I'll give you my three, the definites, who are real front runners for this one.
Oh, yeah.
Jacomas, CJ Bruton, and of course, Mahmoud Abdul Fattah. They're the big ones. Who's the fourth?
They're the three. If I want to be controversial, I can go with the fourth. John Riley.
Oh, come on. Behave.
Seriously, he showed no ability to adapt. He basically knew what was going to happen each week, and he never developed an alternative method. Like, okay, so Bryce is going to get doubled. Maybe we can put some wrinkles in this offense. Nah, why bother? You know, let's just lean into the things we're good at. Nah, I just not that great. Mm. Never got Jordan Usher really going.
Just no, Usher was kind of
Cotton
good just by pure chance.
Yeah. Ran Bryce Cotton for 38 minutes game. Couldn't find any time. Maybe this is good coaching, but couldn't find any time for Corey Webster at any point.
Not a huge condemnation from me on that.
No, it's not. But I don't know. I just... He's not the worst coach of the year. He's not going to win. But he's middle of the pack.
Okay, you'd give it. He's a candidate in your mind. But, okay, well, of the three serious candidates, come on, who are you giving the three votes to? Reminder: Jacomas 2-7, cut very early on. CJ Bruton 4-9 in Adelaide, a team that then, or the Sydney Kings coach, Abdul Fattah.
I was gonna say Jacomas, but no, I'm actually going to go Bruton.
Oh. I would have, I mean, I'm not going to have Abdul Fattah, but I have to have the conversation that to have a losing record, and not by a game or you know, they lost some close ones, like this team got smoked, to have a losing record with Jalen Adams on your team and DJ Hogue, who admittingly only played the 15 games, but even Valentine and just those pretty serviceable locals and to regress Glover's game and to have Jordan Hunter and these types of guys and just get nothing. Oi, oi, oi. And then the other thing is, between Christmas and the 11th of February, Alex Tui completely fell off the map. And it all just, I think, I've been critical of Tui, but what I will say is, on Christmas Eve or day, whatever they played, he had a bad showing and he goes to the bench. And he'd started the season up until that point. That kills a player's confidence. It kills it. And then he just jumped from, you know, started to, or mainly on the bench, but bench, and then his minutes would be, you know, 25, 20, 18, 12, 10, back on the starting lineup. Like, it was just bizarre. I'll say this, MAF, I'm calling him, Mohamed Abdul Fattah, fiddles with his starting lineups more than Terry Morris, who, for people out there, he's a very famous fiddler. If I called this guy clueless and a fraud, would that be unfair?
I say fraud
because in his post-game press conferences, this guy just spits the sort of stuff you hear on American ESPN channel shows, like, they just didn't try enough, you know, and they weren't prepared. It's like, come on, people sitting at a desk can say that. You as a coach can't say that. So I've gone on a diatribe, but
it's a good one. I also liked watching him, liked, I don't know if that's the right word, but enjoyed his performances on the sidelines where he would just go absolutely mental.
Oh.
I don't know how that guy didn't get more technical fouls. Like, oh, it's he looked like he was ready to strangle a referee at certain points of that. And it was just a disaster. So,
and their record is they're 13-15 or something. Is that their end record? Whatever it is.
It's not enough. Ironically, they're probably going to get through the first round now.
We're going to talk about that. He may just be look like a genius. moving on. You say Bruton. I say Jacomas.
So, look.
Why?
They're all terrible. But I'm going to say Bruton because he had a reasonable team, but he just confused everybody. Nobody really knew what they were meant to do. It seemed like they didn't care. And the thing, he seemed almost oblivious to it. And he was letting his assistant coach basically jump up and down and run the show more than he was. He just seemed to have zero authority.
Does that make him a bad coach? Oh, sorry, go on.
No, and I think the fact that, I think maybe he knew too much. Like, he was too strategic about the game. But he wasn't able to communicate that. And I think the players just got confused and lost. And he didn't read the room and make any adjustments. He just kept going on the same path. He was like, I'm on these rails. I'm a train and I'm on these rails and I will not deviate. Even if it's going to absolute shit, I don't know.
I think to even call him a coach is a sort of... To say he was a bad coach is not doing the word justice. In that... I think he just sort of didn't understand the business of NBL basketball. For example, like the Trenton Flowers, oh, we're going to start him a point guard, smiling down the barrel of the cat, we're going to smile him a point guard. Like, what was the strategy there? And it cost him a game or two at the beginning of the season because they started him, he was dreadful. Maybe it was just the blitz, but then you had this weird thing where you've told him a Karen, like, oh, we're going to start him over you in the blitz, we're going to start him, and then we're not. Like, why are you jerking around your players? Mm. What are you doing? And then they're just... He was bad, but Jacomas. I mean, the thing is, this is why I give the award to JJ. 2-7, but the thing was, the turnaround was so sharp. I mean, the turnaround from both of them was sharp, but the turnaround of Illawarra has been, I mean, they're a real upset contender for the top four. I mean, they're in the top four. They're a real, if they kind of get a lucky break and get through and meet Perth in a semi, I don't know if that's possible. Like, they're a chance to go through to the final.
Yeah.
And they look dreadful, so... That's so bad. But you know what the funny thing is? I think Jacomas is with the Boomers team as an assistant.
Seriously?
If I'm wrong, get at me on Twitter, at NBL Pocket Pod, but I'm pretty sure he's there. I think he got a polo. And to him I say, fuck, like what a job interview.
Failing
like, was he wearing a mask? What a legend. What did he have to say or do in that interview? That is mental.
He carries the Gorgian bum bag.
Well,
that's what he does.
Far out. He must carry it really, really well. Moving on. Who won most improved? I looked at all the awards before they were given, and I didn't even look at the nominees. I just went, who do I think should win the award? Didn't even look. So I had most improved being McVay, and I think the most improved was Sean McDonald of Tasmania.
Yeah.
I thought it was definitely McVay. McVay went from being a good player, didn't have a bad year last year, to being NBL second team or right on the fringe.
Yeah,
that's why I gave the award.
I love that selection because, he was a closer. You know, he was just... He hit that game-winning three, but also just deadly. He had the Nowitzki little lean, step-back jumper going this year. Like, he was great. If it wasn't him, it could have almost been... Will Magnay.
Well, that was... Yeah, Will Magnay, yeah. I mean, it's difficult how they give that award because he had that really good year, got injured. I don't think they give it like that. But yeah, I totally see your point. But Sean McDonald won. I guess.
Like, he was okay, but I didn't feel the jump. I didn't feel improvement.
No.
I just thought, oh yeah, he's just going a bit better.
It was when I saw he had been awarded the award, I was like, oh yeah, okay, him. Yeah, okay. I didn't... Wasn't one I preemptively thought of. MVP obviously went to Bryce Cotton. Moving on.
Yep.
Sixth man of the year. I had Will Magnay. Only played the 18 games, didn't start any of them. I thought when, he obviously missed 10 games of the season, that works against you in these awards. I understand that. But geez, in those 18 games, like, he was, for certainly 10 of them, he was a game winner.
Yep.
And totally turned games on offense, on defense. I thought it definitely should have gone to him. Who won it instead? I can't remember.
Clark.
You can't complain about that. I can't complain about that, but I still think it should have gone to Magna. What do you think?
It was Clark, wasn't it? I'm not actually looking at it. Yeah, it was in Clark. Just from memory.
Yeah, it was in Clark.
Yeah. No, I was okay with Clark. He was good.
Did play a lot more games.
And he was frightening. You know, he comes in, you're like, oh, no complaints. Okay.
No complaints. Defensive Player of the Year went to Shea Ely. I thought it had to go to someone from Melbourne. I think it would have just looked strange if it didn't.
Yep.
So Ely, you happy with that, or should it have been Huck Porty?
I'm unhappy with it.
Okay, go on.
I think Ely gets a lot of credit because he's dirty. He gets up and in on the ball.
He's a roughhouser, yeah.
So it's an obvious defensive candidate. I think there's other players that play defense, that play positional defense. They do the little things, they block out.
Right.
But Shea Ely just runs into people. He's reckless.
He's learned from the master, like Dellavedova, Country Vic. Good Lord. Like, you better have your balls on a vice because they're getting a pounding when you play Dellavedova. Squeeze them, crush them, twist them, jerk them, all that stuff. So if not Ely, then who?
I liked Magne.
18 games, though, Ken.
I know.
10 games. That's a third of the season.
But he was just a... I've got recency bias, but he was just a beast inside.
Oh, he was. He was blocking everything, but too many games missed. The NBA has that 65 out of 82 games played. Magne's not even close to that. I didn't have an issue with Ely. He clamped some guys this year. But, yeah, it's fine, but it leaves a wee sour taste in my mouth. And by the sound of it, yours too.
Yep.
Rising Star, I forget who won it, and I've got here in my notes here, the correct answer of who won it is who gives a shit?
What the fuck is this award?
A Sam Froling, who's what, 25 years
been
old?
Been in the league for about 7 years.
It's like an industry super fun. Like, what the fuck is this award? Sorry for the language. So I had Sar. I thought he had a pretty good year. Like, okay, you have to give it to a next star. Just give a next star award. That gets some media traction. And instead, it goes to Sam Froling, who's been in the league for ages and is 25.
Yeah, I think screw that. Let's not call it a rising star. Let's call it a next star award, as you say.
I'll cap it at like 21 years old.
Yeah, yeah.
So, the only real import who could have won at that point was, I think, Mallow Trimble in his first year at Cairns years ago. That's fine. He was 21 or 2 at that point. So, okay, that when they're that young. But what's going on?
I'm going to give it to, not Sa, though. I would give it to Sa, but coming up real close from behind is Robster Vicious.
Oh, the Lithuanian kid at Breakers. Yeah, okay. Yep. I you could throw any name here. I do not care. I don't fucking care about the first team. Here's my pick. I actually have kind of forgotten who won it. But
we do our research on this show, people.
Yeah, we sure do. Yeah. We do our own research. But I had Cotton, Parker Jackson Cartwright, Lamb, Gary Clark of Illawarra, and I had Mitch Creek. Maybe I'm off about that.
I don't like Mitch Creek. I don't like
who was in that team? It was Cotton, Cartwright, Lamb,
Clark.
No, Golding was in there.
Yeah, Golding. Yeah, that's it, isn't it?
Clark and Golding.
Yeah.
I don't think Clark made it.
We should really do some
research. Do you want to test your internet or mine? Do you mind bringing that up? What argument? But I think if Gary Clark didn't make it, he definitely should have. Sorry, everyone at home about this. But while Kenyon checks the first teams and second teams, on the second team, I had Patrick Miller. I don't think he got shit. He didn't get a damn thing. And then I had Doyle, I had Adams, I had McVeigh, and I had JLA, but only played the 20 games. So have you got it there, Kenny?
Yeah, yeah. So the first team was Bryce Cotton, Chris Golding, Gary Clark, Parker Jackson Cartwright, Anthony Lamb.
Yeah, see, Golding in the first team.
He was good this year. He faded a little bit
but
towards
NBA
the end.
NBL first team, sorry. Over Doyle, over like these guys.
Yeah, Doyle sucked. Doyle's not good. I'd go the, what's his name? See, I'm losing my mind now. It's getting late. The other Tassie Jack Jumper guy, little guy.
Oh, Crawford. Crawford, first team. No, behave. I think, and then who's in the second team?
Second team is JLA, Joe Lualachul.
Yep, fair enough.
Mitch Creek, Nathan Sobey, Milton Doyle, and Jack McVeigh.
Okay, McVeigh did make it. Okay, good. Patrick Miller deserves to be on that team.
Does he?
I really think he does, yeah. Over... probably over Sobey. I mean, they're the same record.
Mm.
Patrick Miller was really... There was a time where that team was... I mean, that team had the bad start with the NBA trip and all that sort of stuff. I thought he was really good, man. He was like Casper Ware. When Casper Ware was good, he was really good. So Jalen Adams didn't make that team? Did you say Adams?
No, he didn't. Yeah, that's...
I mean, Adams has had a bad... That team was bad season. And he had a frustrating season, but he always statted well and he was always their best, and they've got the same record as Brisbane and other teams in that list. So a bit hard done by JLA. Only played the 20 games this year, missed 8 of them. He's still a good player.
Yeah.
I didn't have Sobey, but listen to Sobey's splits, right? So it was third in points per game by a fraction of a hair over whoever the fourth person was. But his splits were 40% from the field, 28 from three, 86 from the foul line, but 28% from the outside. The other one, hard done by Vasiljevic, missed 8 games, quote-unquote missed, because he joined the season late, sixth in points per game. Like, could have... It was hard. It was a hard year to give it. If Adams is missing out, Vasiljevic is definitely missing out. So I've got no... Do you have any major complaints or queries?
No. It was, you know, you can make a few arguments here and there, but I think overall it's pretty fine. One of the things that I find interesting is that I remember at the beginning of the season, Della Vadova coming out and saying this was the year that he was going to have a crack getting back into the Boomers. You know, that was that was the storyline. Mm. He's just not shown up at all. Like, if he was any chance for the Boomers, he'd be in one of these lineups. He's not.
I think you did make that NBL second team the first year he played.
Yeah, but...
Right, that was a long time ago.
I think he's done.
As far as Boomers consideration, I think so, especially with the amount of talent going around at that position for that team. Kenyon, they're the awards. Any final comment on those before we move on to like teams that didn't make the playoffs? And
no, I don't think there was anything. There was the we mentioned the Executive of the Year.
Went to the Melbourne guy.
Melbourne guy, yeah.
Again, what's the criteria of this award? Win the most games?
Who knows?
Is it kept it under a certain dollar amount?
Who knows? But congratulations to that guy.
Yeah, congratulations, guy.
Yeah, well done.
Trulson, I want to say. Started with a T.
See, as much as we hate him, we know Danny Mills.
Yeah, we know Danny Mills. The lawnmower man?
Pongrass.
He must feel a little bit sour taste. He had good teams. He built really good teams the last 2 years. Yeah, nothing.
Hired the wrong coach.
that makes him ineligible. Listen, let's jump onto the teams that... Before we jump onto the teams that did make it, let's stay in the mud, unless you've got something to say.
I've just got one other thing just before we...
Give me.
Just on... Tom Abercrombie, I think we mentioned him last episode because he retired, but I was just reflecting on him again. I've got one question for you, Joe.
Sure.
If Tom Abercrombie was coming up in the league now, could he have been sort of a next star going to the NBA?
100%. I'll just put you... I remember watching him play at the same kind of age that Travis is now.
Mm.
And Travis gets all this press and is a drafted NBA player. I think Abercrombie's a better player. Mm. Always was, yeah. So 100%. I mean, he had the thing with the NBA for me is, can guys keep up athletically? Yep. And Tom Abercrombie absolutely could.
Yeah.
So he ticks that first box, and then it's a skill game and a bit of luck and a few other things. But he wouldn't have just got to a gym and been completely swept off the floor athletically. So yeah, I think so. What do you think?
Yeah, I think so. I think in this era, he would have had a bunch of executives looking at him and he would have
3-and-D wing.
He would have had a great opportunity. Exactly.
Yep.
Would have been great, you know, off the bench option for
low maintenance, and just have that. He would have just had the chance to do that kind of year or two in the NBA. You know, that guys kind of get now the Cooks NBA tour where they get 20 games and I did it. I made that league and now I come back to a team and play good minutes rather than just riding the bus.
Mm.
And that's a fun experience and it pays well as well, just quietly. So he would have had that. But that's what happens when BA runs your sport into the ground or the league into the ground.
Yeah.
Let's go to the teams that didn't make it. Let's do this quickly. Brisbane 13-15, finished wherever they did. Here's who's coming back. Shuler's under contract. Bannon's under contract, Rocco's under contract, and Smith, their import's coming back.
Oh, that's a shame.
Mm. Norton, player option. You'd say he probably picks that up. Might have a bit of interest from other clubs, though. Maybe.
I think he'll stay.
I think he'll stay. Seems like a guy who likes a bit of, after the tumultuous move of cities from Perth, probably keen for some stability.
Yep.
Sobey, Harrison and White are all team options. You would think the team picks up all three of them. Sobey, like maybe they think they can spend that money on an import, but shucks, you know, like you let a local go, man. It's very risky. And then Baines and Prather are out of contract. You would say that as a good thing. Would you bother with either of them?
I would scrap both of those guys.
Yep, okay.
Even so, like, I know they said Prather, you know, they'll check him out this season and look to sign him again next year. Don't do it. He's cooked.
I've seen all I need to see. And more the point, I saw all I needed to see when he had a flash in the pan cup of coffee with Melbourne a little while ago, or was it? Can't remember. Would you give, sticking with the thumbs up, thumbs down thing, looking at that of who's coming back and so on and so forth, you're giving this team a thumbs up for their future or a thumbs down for their future?
Gosh, it's almost like it all comes down to what can they find on the import market. They need to move the needle on that one.
Yeah, for sure.
I like
Cairns, their rival team does such a good job of it, and yet they don't. Sorry.
Yeah, I like their core. I like Bannon. I really like Bannon.
Yeah, he's a solid player.
I think he'll be fantastic. Sobey and Norton, they're good. Tyro Harrison really came a long way this season. So I just like, you know, they've got a good sort of bench core there and a couple of starters. But they need help.
Did I say McDaniel? I don't have him on this list.
You don't have him on the list. I assume he
is. I don't know what he's doing.
I assume he's back again.
Let's assume he is. So, yeah, I mean, I'll just say this. The Albatross contract of Baines being gone, blessing. Absolute blessing. And you get to, you know, they get to basically say, hey, maybe it's time to hang it. You know, maybe it's time. But point of emphasis is three-point shooting. They were last in three-point attempts and second last in percentage. So they shot very few, and the very few that they took, they missed.
Yeah.
So they need an import to address that because, you know, the local talent that can help with that are basically all signed up. Your Vasilieviches, your Goldings, your Isaac White's kind of – he was on their roster. So it's – that's them. But, yeah, I think the future's pretty bright. The main thing's bringing back that coach.
Do you know, ironically, who would have helped them this season? Is
No.
Devondrick Walker.
Oh, please.
three-point shooting. That guy can shoot three ball.
Yeah, I can't defend his position. I'm out.
They've tried. They tried it.
This, you know, it's like fool me once and twice and three or four times. Anyway, moving on to their crosstown rival, Cairns. Finished the season 12-16, finished where they did. Here's who's coming back. Ford, the coach. Wardenburg, Antonio, Gack, Menenga, Taron Armstrong, and Clintman's under contract, but a next star, so likely to depart.
I think he's gone.
Oh, he'll get picked for sure. So he's gone, so they get the buyout money. The league does anyway. Mm-hmm. Here's who's out of contract. And you tell me if you'd be rushing to sign these people. McCall.
No.
Bull Quall.
No.
Oh, we're going to talk about that, but I'll get to the end of it. Lat Mahon.
Yes.
Baines' best mate. And Miller's out of contract.
He's gone. I like him. Wow. I would take him back. I would bring him back. I just don't think Ford would bring him back.
Well, and certainly not in combination with McCall. They were just too friendly on the court. The other thing is, what are they doing with Taron Armstrong? This guy had a bad year. There was NBA heat and fell off the radar completely. NBA radar, kind of NBL radar. Comes nothing.
Yeah.
And I actually believe in his game a lot. So, but you said no to McCall. So you're thinking they just... They've tried the McCall experience.
They're just cut bait. I think what they need is they need to rebuild and get a more responsible approach to the game. They've been leaning on this Tajir McCall sort of crazy high tempo, you know, sort of
could reckless be really, energy.
Reckless, yeah. Could be amazing play, but could just be a turnover. And I think they've lived that life for the last 3 years, is it? And I think they need to grow up a little and just have a bit more stability.
I agree. Before I chime in with my shite, Bull Quall, you said no. That's a bold strategy, my friend.
It is.
Not many locals out there. You're going to say goodbye to Bull Quall? I wouldn't do that.
He was
frustrating this year.
He came off the boil this season. Last season he was good. He was hitting the three at a good rate.
But ego kind of got in the way. Didn't you find that in his game? I was watching him play. I was like, I think he expected to be allowed to manhandle people. And when he fouls, when he just never adjusted to the way they called him. It was frustrating. I didn't like the way his game, his season
He just seemed really angry the whole time. And
yeah, he played with no joy.
Yeah. No. And just like in his head, just like so angry about every foul being called that it just took away from every other aspect of his game. So, look, I think he needs a fresh scene.
He can't get it in Cairns with a new adjustment. I'm not big on the new strategy. I actually think a lot of this stems from Ford. You know, I like Adam Ford, really good coach, but gee, loves to get stuck. Like, he's very emotional. Loves to get what's he doing chasing Baines in the hallway? Like, you're the coach. Wave a towel, draw up some shit on the whiteboard and pretend like you don't just stand in the background of these players. What are you doing? I feel like a lot of these guys regressed under him, you know, and I think prison guard background, you're not a prison guard anymore. You know, the tough guy routine kind of bothered me, and I just, it kind of reflected in his team poorly this year. Now, maybe I'm being too ephemeral, too emotional, but it's just a vibe. I don't know if you concur or not.
I think it was whose team is it? And it was a bit of like, is it the Tajir McCall, Patrick Miller team?
Oh, it was. Yeah.
Or is it the Adam Ford team?
Yeah, there was conflict there. I'll be very interested. So, staying with thumbs up, thumbs down, their future, are you got a big eye? Are they good? Or are you going thumbs down?
I'm going to go thumbs up because I still think they've got a really good young core, and I think if they just
Wardenburg, I like
reset with some new personalities as much as anything in that team, and I think they might do okay. My question is about Jonah Antonio. Is that guy going to actually turn out to be a good player?
Sweet shot on him.
Yeah, but it's like he hasn't shown any development.
No.
So I don't know. It's like, how long do you keep? He's a small guard who can shoot the ball. Like, how valuable is that? Really,
for him to get mass minutes, there's a very small margin for error. He's not really hot from the get go. He's kind of got to go. I think that conversation. It's a very good question, but I will say I think it's all secondary to Taron Armstrong. Are they going to recruit over his position again? Patrick Miller. If they were serious about Armstrong, they shouldn't have brought in Miller.
Yeah,
they should have. I mean, they still had a losing season. They should have gone, nah, we're putting our stock into Miller, up to Armstrong and going it. They recruited him, and Miller was very keen to keep the feel of the leather. So, I'm less thumbs up with this team. I've got an iffy, not thumbs down, I'm giving it the side thumb, if that's such a thing. Happy to move on?
Yep.
Adelaide, 12-16, same record, started terribly. Picked up under Scott Ninnis, who's been signed. Yes. After Adelaide basically cucked him. Every coach in the league came in, had an evening with the ownership. He waited outside and was like, I'm done now. You can come in. But he got his money. Hey, listen, I'm not making fun of him. Got his opportunity, got his money. He's in, and that's the main thing.
Look, I'm hoping there was a little bit of solidarity here. As much as you said he was cucked, and I think he was. What I'm hoping is that... old mate Gorgian. So Scott Ninnis, I think he was an assistant coach to Gorge at one time, but he was certainly a player for Gorge. Yes. I'm hoping that Gorge actually just did him a solid and just boosted the asking price a little for his old mate. Sort of upped the stakes, played the game, had the conversations, and then pulled out, leaving them to sign Scott Ninnis at a more marketable rate.
I don't know. I think Gorgian may have got wind of how the clubs operate at the top and decided that wasn't for him in his twilight years.
Well,
But now the question comes, and I put this on Twitter, what happens to Gorgian now? You got to think about the opening. So Tommy Greer's not... I've heard rumblings. I've heard rumours that maybe not as lockstepped as I thought, but I can't say anything. But I don't know.
Southeast Melbourne.
That's the thing. That's a great fit for him, but... it requires them to go to Mike Kelly. They're not going to do that. Nicest guy in the world. Those puppy dog eyes, you can't fire him.
Hey, look, Mike Kelly was a former player under Brian Gorgian. Maybe he could slip into...
associate head coach.
Associate head coach, there we go.
Let's stay with Adelaide. Here's who's coming back. Vasiljevic is coming back. Marshall's coming back. Dech, Kadee, big asterisks over I always mix that up, but
Asterix is the Asterix cartoon.
Asterix. There's a cloud of doubt hanging over Detch and Kadee, and then Flowers, obviously, A, who gives a shit, but B, more than likely taken off. Wiley, mutual option on that contract. Yeah, who says no? Do you think that... Who says no, Kenny? Player or team? Or anyone. Bring him back.
I think everybody's happy.
Let's mutual. Yep, bring him back. Here's who's out of contract. McCarron, no chance he comes back. Humphreys, we're going to talk about him. Trey Kelt, can I give a quick one? Yeah, I know. You're signing him or what? Had a pretty good year.
Probably, but I'm a little unconvinced. But probably I would sign him.
Starling, probably bring him back. Not bad.
Nah, no. Not an import. Is he?
No, he's a local.
No, he's a local, isn't he? Yeah, bring him back. Yep.
And then Galloway, who they had contempt for. The brother had a real case for most improved. We didn't talk about him. This one sat on the bench under Bruton and couldn't find his form. But
I reckon he
seemed to have a lot of the same talent.
I think he'll leave.
I think he definitely needs to change the scenery somewhere and would actually be better for him in a team. I want to come back to this. Kel, did you say yay or nay? You said yes.
I think I said yeah. Yeah, I'm saying yes.
Assuming, let's go back. Yeah. Assuming, yeah. Let's go one back then. Let's go Humphreys.
Well, you got to sign him, don't you?
Do you? I you know my feelings. I feel he's had a good year now. The sniff is up. The basking price is down. He's going to get hurt next year. I don't have the faith. I don't have the trust.
No, he's a below the rim center. Like he's they need to sign him.
When they were right on the pin of like, oh, if we win our next two, we're a chance for the top four. He had two games that were very, very forgettable. He hasn't played in a single NBL playoff game in his career. The asking price is back up now. It's, you know, 2 years fallow and I'm back, baby, top dollar. And I'm out. I'm saying no.
Yeah.
What are you saying? Have I sold you or you're going the other way?
Okay. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to make a strong run at Geordie from Sydney.
Geordie Hunter.
Yeah, Geordie Hunter. I'm going to go for Geordie Hunter with everything I've got. And if that falls through, I'm going to Humphreys.
I just don't think they're even in the same pay grade conversation.
Well, that's what I mean. You might pay Hunter a lot less, but get only a little bit less on the court, and that's a good deal.
I concur.
And then you throw your money at the imports.
Yeah, this team, who knows what they do with their recruiting. They've just recruited so poorly the last 2 years.
I don't know which players want to go to Adelaide and play either. That's the other.
I'd love to go to, if I was a player, I'd really like to go to that team. Even when they were trash, their team gets you 8,500.
True.
They're great fans in a very manageable city. Every dollar you sign is going, yeah, you can buy a house in Adelaide for like the coins in the couch cushions, man. That's great. McCarron. What happens to this guy? I'm still a firm believer in his game. Are you a believer? And if so, and if not, where do you think he's going?
Yeah, in the right environment, I think he can be really good. But you've got to understand he's never going to get you a lot of points. He's a facilitator.
This guy's built for Perth, I think. And he just locks down that position that they've kind of struggled with. Ty Webbs has actually been okay, but who knows what he's going to ask for. So,
yep.
I ask you this: you're Danny Mills, and you've got the choice of signing at the same money, McCarron or Ty Webster. Whom do you choose?
I'm going McCarron.
Wow, I agree. And you're buying at the bottom of the market too. Well, I'd be very interested to see his asking price after this year, because I think a lot of teams are going to be like us and still see his value. So maybe it doesn't hit rock bottom. Anything else from Adelaide? Or are you happy to move on?
No, that's all we got.
That's all we got. Southeast Melbourne, Wooden Spoon, 10-18. Here's who's coming back: Kelly, Creek, Williams, Foxwell, Matt Kenyon, Ben Eyre, and Vaik. Oh. So, just of that list, who's a rotation player? Creek is obviously.
Yep.
Williams is. Ben Eyre is.
Yeah. Foxwell's shown some
plucky.
Yeah.
Plucky, but if he's in your top eight,
if you've got Foxwell, you don't need Kenyon. They're the same. They're almost the same guy.
Yeah,
Kenyon's a bit bigger, but it's a lot. It's a lot of limited growth in that lot.
Yeah, it's not a huge depth chart. I mean, not a lot of teams wouldn't be thinking, he's under contract. Damn. here's who's out of contract, and I just want you to say yes or no as to whether you re-sign them. Ruben Tarangi?
No.
Brown?
No.
The input. Gack?
Maybe.
Moller?
Yeah, it's hard.
Let's say he's healthy.
You've got to say yes, yes.
Nader?
No.
Yeah, hurt. Okay, yeah. Well, that's good then. They've got a lot of guys coming off the books that you don't think are coming. I want to ask you this question, and you just say yes or no, or give explainers if you want.
Okay.
Is Alan Williams a third important disguise? Yes or no?
No.
Do you think he's a top-line import?
No, I think he's mid-tier.
Okay. You think, okay.
He's like your second import.
Oh, I don't know. I've got here football player on a basketball court, question mark. I don't see the finesse. I see the great stat accumulating, but I'm not convinced. I don't think third import, if you've ever heard the Brad and Body podcast, but Body refers to third import. Not willing to go that far, but boy, we'll get into next year and I'll make up my mind. Is this the end of the road for Tarangi? Yes or no?
I hope so. The guy's been trash.
He's coming back. I just think he's amazing at sticking around. Is this the end of the line for Gary Brown?
One would hope. Add it to the list, the discard pile of the point guards that come and go from Southeast Phoenix.
Well, this is the thing, and this is my last question on the Southeast moment. Do we have any trust left in Tommy Greer's ability to scout and sign imports? I'm going to give you the list of imports and see if you can remember them. And if you can remember them, tell me if they were good or bad. Yeah. Remember John Robertson?
I do. I liked him.
Yeah, he was a good player. He could shoot the shit out of it. So, quite a good player. Ty Wesley got hurt, had a reputation, but was an older player.
Yeah, didn't. I like the earlier version of Wesley, not the one they had.
Cool. Keith Benson, remember him?
He was that tall guy, just angry the whole time.
Yeah, just barely played. Yep. Jay Crockett, was kind of a plucky third import type player.
Yeah, skinny, small forward kind of guy, right?
So let's call that another push. So we've really got one success story. Kiefer Sykes, definitely a thumbs up. He was, remember him, really small.
Yep.
Missed a lot of time, but was really good.
Yep.
Ben Moore.
Who?
Okay, bad sign. Devin Thomas.
Who?
Brandon Ashley.
Oh, yeah, he was the New Zealand Kiwi guy.
New Zealand, loved a foul. Loved a foul. Had a much better performance with New Zealand than South East. So, again, another push. Xavier Munford.
Who?
Yeah, I've actually got thumbs down. I do remember. Cummings, their most recent one who got kicked off the team for lack of community service. Thumbs down.
Yeah.
Cook, Tyler Cook, the one good input they've had in the last 5 years, didn't sign him. Because they had Williams, and he was this electric, dunk everything, run the court, play D.
Yeah, his eye popped out. Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Should have kept Nader. Should have kept that Cook guy.
And then Nader, we're going, hard to tell, injured, thumbs down. And then Brown, I think we're pretty... Are you willing to cast your thumbs down?
Thumbs down on Brown, yeah.
Yeah, so that's not a great track record.
That's a lot of players over a relatively short period of time, too.
Huge success with Kiefer Sykes. That he was a stud and played really well in the finals when they made it. What's the future of this team? Are you optimistic about this team or pessimistic about this team?
Dude, they're called the Phoenix. This is what you have to do. You got to
rise from the
burn earth. It down. You know, you got to build it up and rise once more like the Phoenix.
Of myth. I don't think that was an answer. You're just taking the piss out of me. I am not optimistic about this team.
That was a genuine answer, man. This team sucks.
They're going to blow it up. But the funny thing is, they got all these players coming back from contract. Creek, Williams, Foxville, Kenyon, Air, Vague. I'm like, none of these guys other than Creek. Williams is just I think Williams is an albatross. I don't know how much they've paid him. And now he's like the face of the league.
They should just transfer him to the NBL, actually. That's what they should do. Just say, look, he's a commentator this year. Still get your money, but we're freed up to sign somebody else.
It'd be like those This Is SportsCenter ads, but he's just there full time. In uniform. All right, let's make some predictions and let's get the fuck out of here.
I just want to reiterate. Sorry, Joe. I know.
Go for it.
This team, this Southeast Phoenix team, they just suck. They're so bad, and there's just no hope. And I don't know what they're doing. And it's,
what were their highlights this year? The win over Sydney was fun. The one in Traralgon where they had no one, and Creek just decided, I'm gonna get one win on the board.
Yeah,
that was fun.
Yeah.
Outside of that, this year, can you imagine?
I like the fact that bless Gary Brown punched two guys in one season. That's pretty good.
And barely got suspended. Yeah, that was fun. Can you imagine being a Southeast Melbourne fan in Melbourne? Like, how pathetic that would be. Bless you out there. I don't mean it, but just the uniforms are great color. It should be predominantly green, but yet they go black for some reason. Yep. But it's just such a man. It's a tough sell.
Okay, this is one bit of advice I've got. Tommy Greer, tune in. Okay. If you're still going to be around, this is who you need to sign. You need to sign Bull Qual. There you go.
Oh,
there you go. There's my hot tip. Get Bull Qual on your team. Get some defensive starch.
Yeah.
And 3&D, make it happen.
Here's what I'll say. Tommy. Tommy, come in here. Whoever's in charge of your health and fitness, your injury prevention, maybe time to let him go. I don't know where you found him. Bottom of a cereal box somewhere, but your team just perennially gets hurt all the time. It may be time to, I don't know, get some orthotics in. I don't know, but you got to do something because you just get hurt every year. Happy to move on. Yep. Play-in and playoff predictions. Here we go. I did this the best I could. So play-in, Tasmania are hosting Illawarra in the first of the play-ins. This is the one where the losing team gets a second chance. Am I right?
Yeah.
Who you got just before you do that? 2-1 series record in favour of the JJs in this one. Hard to tell because I think one of those losses came when the team was under a different head coach and that head coach was maybe not playing, you know, Buali Bales 20 minutes back up. Who are you picking?
It's a really tough one, this.
It is a tough
one. I don't have any confidence in my prediction, but I'm going to say the Jack Jumpers will win.
Same. And it was not easy. I only went who's the home team and just went with it. But I think Scott Roth. I don't think Scott Roth will get hoodwinked. I think Tatum, a lot of his wins have come with just really simple strategies of hit the boards, play hard, attack the hoop, play D, double a good player.
Yeah.
And I think that Roth is a coach who will scheme for that, and they should win.
Yeah.
Why are you not confident?
Look, I think interestingly, I think the inside double threat of Lee and, well, triple almost the way Krizlovich is playing these days. But yeah, Lee, him, and Magne, I just think there's too much inside for Froling.
Yeah, what is essentially just Froling.
Yeah.
Who's their other big? Kind of in.
They've got.
Lachie Aubrey.
Yep. Who's.
And someone else. Okay. And Clark, I guess.
But yeah, I just think. Just think that they. As well as the. Just the overall, coaching. Like you said, they've got so many different wrinkles to what they can do.
Both teams are teams that don't kill themselves. They don't F up. And I just think that the talent on paper, I just like pretty much every matchup for Tasmania, other than whoever's up on Clark. I just think every other matchup goes the way of Tasmania.
But that could be McVeigh, and McVeigh's done pretty well this season. So
yeah,
if he gets that matchup.
Yeah, that's true. Moving on. The other playing game is Sydney, New Zealand at Kudos Bank Arena. It's 2-1 series record in favour of Sydney. Who are you choosing, my friend?
Oh, my God. I can't believe I'm saying this, but I think Sydney will win over New Zealand.
I'm picking the same reason, and only because of the injuries.
Yeah.
Listen to these injuries.
If they had Lamb, I would go.
If they had Lamb, I'm definitely picking New Zealand. Are you crazy? I think New Zealand probably wouldn't be in this spot. They would have won that game that they dropped.
Yep.
Lamb's a stud. Lamb could have been MVP had he hung around. Not got hurt. So, yeah, Sydney. Why are you picking Sydney? Just the injury factor?
Just the injury. So, Lamb, like McDowell-White, is he going to play? Probably not.
Delaney's out. Jessup, long hurt. Just everybody.
Yeah, they just don't have enough. So, I think Sydney, all likelihood, will have one of those games where they just hit all their shots. And and we have Sean Bruce chatting away saying how great they are.
Let's go through the whole final series as if our predictions go through. So we both had Sydney beating New Zealand, which means they would play Illawarra in the second play-in, right?
Sydney play Illawarra. Yeah, I don't have the chart in front of me.
So Tasmania would beat Illawarra, and that means they would go on to play Perth.
Yeah.
Sydney would beat New Zealand, which means they've got to play another one against the loser. They'd have to play Illawarra to see who played the Wildcats.
Yeah, no, that's...
To see who played Melbourne.
See who played Melbourne. Yep.
So
Hawks
Sydney, Illawarra.
Sydney. Yep.
Hawks versus Kings. Freeway series. The record between the two was 2-2, split. Mm. Who are you picking?
Hawks.
Ooh. Hawks. Isn't it? I mean, you would say that at the top of the program.
You know,
MAF has got the chance. To, all he has to do is beat New Zealand, who are badly hurt, and Illawarra to make the semifinals.
I know.
Isn't that crazy? Oh, fuck. Ugh. Would they? You're confident you'll pick about Illawarra? I haven't given mine yet. You're confident?
Yeah, I'm confident the Hawks. They won't win. They won't lose two in a row. And, yeah.
I don't know. Sydney's got some studs, man. Like, Hogue is now better. Fuck, he's not better. He's on the team. He's playing. Adams, Valentine, like these are real. As much as Valentine's had a bad year, and I don't think the player we thought he was.
He's not been bad though. Still,
no, he's not been bad. No, not at all. I agree. But there's some players on this team that have been there. They've done it. They've got some real talent. I'm hoping they come together and go, listen, we're throwing everything out. Like the playbook, it's out. Yep. This is a mutiny. let him yell. But we're just running our shit.
We're just listening to Fleur. Whatever she says.
We're just doing. We're going rover and oh. No, you're right. It's Illawarra. It's got to be, surely. All right. So let's say Illawarra win. That means in the semis, Melbourne would play Illawarra and Perth would play Tasmania. In a series between Melbourne and the Hawks, United and Hawks, who would win? Season series went 2-1 in favour of... I've only got it here as if Sydney had won. Oh, well, flip. I think the series between the two was 2-2 between Illawarra and Melbourne. I think they both got... Okay, it doesn't matter. Who would you pick anyway?
Melbourne.
No, I agree.
That it's just too much depth.
Too much scoring too. Like Ian Clark and stuff. It's just, no, it's not going to happen. Yeah. Perth, Tasmania. This would be a fun, interesting series. I really think if Riley gets too frilly and plays Webster and does some funky stuff, he could torture this team. And I mean, also, do you think Tasmania are going to double Bryce Cotton in the Illawarra vein?
Nah.
I don't think so. It's been so effective.
I know. They might take a look at it. I don't think they'll start that way.
No. Yeah, I agree with that. Oh, it's been so effective. And I look at the people around Cotton, the players around Cotton, I go, yeah, okay. I'll chance you to make decisions, you know, 4-on-3. Okay. Let's see Hyrum Harris. Let's see you make the right play time and time again from the first quarter to the fourth. Jesse Wagstaff, we're going to take your shot away. You can put it on the deck if you want. You go ahead. You do that. Jordan Usher, you want to take a fadeaway on the baseline? You do that, pal. We'll see if you can win a three-game series pulling that stuff. So who are you picking in the series again?
Jack Jumpers.
Oh, you're picking the Jack Jumpers to beat Perth?
Yep.
Without the home
yep.
Home court? Yep. Wow. Why do you think that?
Jack Jumpers are what Perth used to be. They, good point. They've got no fear. They'll go into any venue and don't care. Home, away, it doesn't matter. It's the same court. They're disciplined. They know what it takes to win. And they'll get it done. And they have
depth. They don't have Bryce Cotton, though.
Yeah, but they've got Milton Doyle, which is good enough. Jordan Crawford.
I have the Wildcats winning that series. Ooh, okay. Primarily on home court and the Cotton factor. Surely, really is looking at it now and thought, okay, if they double Bryce, we're going to do this. Surely.
You would hope so. I haven't seen any evidence of it yet, but you never know.
Even if you're not certain they're going to do it, you'd want to have some strategy by this stage. You lost a couple of games this year as a result. Anyway, that'd be interesting. But no, I think Perth. Like Pinder's a strong player, a bit reckless again, but Wagstaff, they're heady teams. They'll be all right. Okay, so then you're picking a grand final of
Melbourne.
A rematch, a Melbourne-Tasmania rematch from what? Not last year, but the year before.
Yep.
Oh, was it Melbourne? No, the year before that, before the Kings run. Who have we got winning that?
I've got Melbourne winning.
Just clearing straight through. You're going with the bookies. The bookies, by the way, are saying Melbourne $1.91 to win the championship. Perth, second favourite, $3.75. Tasmania, not far behind, on $5.
Okay.
Illawarra, $8.50. So you'd go no issues with Melbourne? You'd do it in a sweep? Or
nah,
would there be
they'd
some?
Give away one. So what's that, 3-1? It is best of five, isn't it?
Jeez. Yeah, best of five,
3-1.
Yeah, that'd be a good series. What would be a better series? Melbourne-Perth, Melbourne-Tasmania?
I think Melbourne-Perth would be more fun.
Yeah, crisscrossing the country.
Yeah, and just fun. More...
Bryce Cotton.
A bit more dynamism. Yeah, and Bryce Cotton.
Can I ask you if that was the eventuality, if Melbourne were to play host to Perth in the finals, who do you think would win that one?
Melbourne. Too much depth.
Don't make mistakes.
Yeah.
But the only thing is, would they chance Coach Cotton? Lee, yeah. Would they be like, hang on, we've got the defensive player of the year. Grab his balls, dive on his legs, like deck chair him, you know?
Exactly. Fold him up. And the referees will turn a blind eye because it's the NBL, baby.
Yeah, right. I think if they did that strategy, they'd have a chance of losing because Cotton, I think, could actually shake off Illy for sure. I think the answer is this little sort of blitz double off the pick thing.
Yeah.
It works really well. And make those other Wildcats who I don't have as a lot of faith in. And I don't think Vickerman would... It'd be such a heady game where he's like, I can't tell my defensive player of the year to take a back seat. Can't do that. And Dalvey Dover, what merit do those two have on the court if they're not if tagging not a guy?
One-on-one, yeah. Exactly. You're exactly right there. The play on Cotton is to, double as soon as he crosses half court, basically. As you say, blitz that. With preferably tall defenders. Make him have to jump off his feet to throw a cross court pass. Yep. And then just...
To me, I'd be forcing it to Harris and Usher and say, Usher, we're going to test your decision-making over a five-game series. I'd be confident you'd win that battle against the Wildcats.
Yeah. Yep.
That's my thought. Exactly right. Gosh, we've run an hour. Ooh. Apologies to everyone.
No, we're giving the people what they want. They've probably been shortchanged this season.
Yeah, so. Well, I don't think we're worth an hour of anyone's time. Just being honest. You, maybe. Me, definitely not. We've done a whole thumbs up, thumbs down thing this whole episode. The refereeing all year. Are you giving it a thumbs up or a thumbs down? It's the same conversation. People think, oh, it's getting worse. No, I can assure you, we've covered... Covered is a pretty loose word. We have watched this league for a while now. I have seen no improvement nor getting worse with the refs. What do you call it? The K. What do you think?
Yeah, no improvement and the just so inconsistent.
But no regression. Are you buying it?
They're not good.
I'm not buying it.
They're not good. And they don't have a feel for the game. That's the thing that annoys me. There's just like, and there's been a, I feel like there's been a lot of fouls called. I've seen a lot of free throws this season and they're pretty boring to watch.
I agree with the huge foul call. So what do you put that down to? You think the problem is the refs are too ticky-tack?
Yep.
Man, guys are smacking each other in the NBL. This is, Pippen comes out. Actually, short word on Pippen. So this is the most Melbourne thing. And everyone's going, oh, NBL. I don't really buy that stuff necessarily. I certainly buy it as far as how they do business, which is fine. Their owner's located at Albert Park. It's going to happen. But the most Melbourne thinking is like, Pippen comes to town. Oh, what are we going to do with him to like get people to the games? And so we'll put him on the project. I mean, that is as Melbourne as a cappuccino on a side street. I mean, to think that you could... Like, the project is weird.
Seriously, do you know
it's on Chapel Street. Gotta send
them. I grew up in the era of the Bulls, right? I'm old enough that they were my team that were amazing to watch. If you were lucky to watch them because it wasn't easy to watch basketball.
Oh, you got one game a week, mate. On replay. Yeah,
it was terrible.
On
but
Saturday morning.
So this is my wheelhouse. I don't give a flying fuck that Scottie Pippen is here for NBL. I just know he's cashing those checks from the NBL, right? He doesn't care about the league. He knows nothing.
He has seen two of the worst games of NBL, of basketball itself. Naismith would have taken a pistol to his dome. They were the worst two games ever he has been present for. But I'm totally with you, Kenny.
It's just disingenuous. They bring in some, past it player to razzle-dazzle the league and think we're all going to get excited about it. He's got no credibility with the NBL. I just don't care. Like, even his little interview the other day, I was like, man, this guy doesn't really know the NBL. He's talking about, possessions mean more in the playoffs. No, we're in FIBA rules, man, and we've been playing with percentage points. Like, every possession matters in every game. Like, it was just those little things. It's like, he doesn't know. I'm not happy with the whole Scottie Pippen thing. And you know what else I'm not happy with, Joe?
Ooh.
I am not happy with hearing about the No Bull Tour. If I'm going to have to hear about the freaking No Bull Tour again one more time, I am going to throw something into my television set. I can't even go see it if I want to. They're not coming to Perth.
And as you said, like you are the target audience. If ever there was a target audience to speak of, I'm with you on this, Canyon.
I've heard all the stories. I don't think anything will be said.
It's basketball from 30 fucking years ago. It is a sport that came to its games that came to their conclusion, and also it's not even like The Last Dance just came out. You know, that'd be different if it was like The Last Dance to it, and they're talking about the Doc's on. or like, here's a hidden scene, here's something you didn't see, that would have merit. That may have merit. But it is just, and the tickets are not cheap. We're talking over $100. And it is extortion. And I'm not liking this live events bullshit that they're doing over there. And it happens all the time. And Giddy was a big profiteer of this. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, you know what was funny was they're charging for the no bull and no bull, no bull. Pippen's getting his money. Horace Grant's getting his money. And what's funny is Nate McMillan, the former head coach and player of the Sonics, not a big name, not a Scottie Pippen, I'll concur, did a meet and greet in Seattle for free at some supermarket. And then, yes, it's the US, it's a different economy, but I'm just saying, like, you just don't have to milk people for every fucking dollar. Sorry for the language. It's just, I'm just sick of the cynicism of it. It's like, Pippen, if you like the NBL so much, come out on your own dime. I know you got divorced and lost fucking 3/4 of your dough. I get that. That sucks. But it's not my fucking problem. Wow. You started this. You started this, Canyon. You dragged me down to your level with the cursing. Hey, it's no bull here. Okay, no bull. Back to the refs, though.
Yeah, I've got more points on the refs, actually.
Yeah, let's hear it.
I want to know why Keith Benson, right? That's his name? Keith Benson?
The former Southeast Melbourne centre stalwart of 10 games.
No, that's not Keith Benson, is it? What's his name? The referee from the US.
I don't know his name. I was about to ask you.
Kevin Keith. I don't know. But I don't know why they love him so much, because he's a bit crap.
What makes him crap in your eyes?
He just makes bad calls.
Well, that's, yeah, that'll do it.
He has a pretty good demeanor. Like, I like his demeanor. I like his level of fitness. Sure. He wears that uniform really well.
Oh, it's snug. It's beautiful.
Like, he looks...
Crack a walnut.
He looks great. Yeah. He looks great. But, geez, he makes some shocking calls.
Yeah, right.
And also, I mean, I've got one more. Yeah. One more, and then I'll shut up and
no
the
ball.
Show is yours.
Plenty of ball.
I just want to know, what's with the NBL and its random enforcement of an issue for, like, 3 weeks and then forgetting all about it? Do you remember when they did the technicals for delay of game? Like, a dude would shoot the whistle would go and he'd shoot the ball.
Vaguely.
And then throw a technical his way. That's just totally gone this season. They just don't worry about that. Guys are back to doing the old thing. It's like, they just get hot about something for like 3 weeks. Then they forget all about
it. I will
it.
Agree with this. Yeah.
It shits me.
I just think, I don't know. I mean, like, as they say, refs are fleas, but there are fleas, right? You're just never going to improve the game. I actually think this is a fundamental flaw of basketball itself. And the reason why I say this is they're having the same problem in the NBA. If you go on NBA Twitter, which I've been forced to do with employers of the past, thank God, not anymore, you just see the same shit. Oh, these refs suck. They're getting worse year by year. It's like, hang on, you're the biggest league in the world. Like, how can you... It makes sense in the NBL, part-time pay, blah, blah, blah. But the same criticism is happening in the NBL. Mm-hmm. Pardon me, in the NBA. And I'm like, hang on a second now. This is just the way the fan engages with the sport. I don't think the criticisms are fair. And also, I think these NBL players, like the offensive skill level is lower. They're hammering each other. Like, Bull Quall got called for a lot of fouls. Do you know why he got called for a lot of fouls, Kenyon? Because he fucking fouled every time at the court. And it's like, stop this. Yeah. And it's because I think there's an element of, because star players only play 28 minutes a game, there's no need to preserve fouls. Mm. There's no need to do it. And Ross has got, I mean,
that's a good
before,
insight.
Like, look at, well, I'm just saying, Gaze used to play like 48-minute era. He played 40 minutes a game. So he's like, I am not going to foul. I do not want to foul this game. I'm not going to. So you just let a few more points through. But in that way, like, the NBL has kind of starch, like it does. Yeah, these teams play D, and I respect that. Mm. But where's the marriage? I'll just say this. I actually think the problem with the refs, I think this is a problem with basketball itself. You're seeing it all over the world where free throws are not fun. The simple answer is the Elam ending.
Oh, yes.
Here it comes. Because the Elam ending doesn't reward fouls. With a stopped clock, it rewards fouling. Yep. It stops the clock. It's a miracle advantage. They might miss the free throw. It's a fundamental flaw in the game itself. You can either look at it and improve your product or not. I don't care. It's not my money on the table. But the Elam ending makes you, if you foul a guy and he hits his shots, they still win the game. You take all that shit out of it. It's about nutting up and hitting shots. I'll say this as well. Ditch pausing for review. Reviews should be done in real time where they're just playing, keep playing. It's like in Jeopardy. Have you watched that TV show where someone will give an answer and then Ken Jennings or the former, rest in peace, Alec Trebek will go like, no, that was incorrect. And then in the break, they'll go, actually, we looked at your answer and fucking no ball was correct. And they add on the score. And I'm of the opinion just keep this game going. I don't want to see stoppages. Get rid of the coach. Scrap the coach's challenge. I think they're shit. They waste time. They're not worth it. You're compounding the problem by then getting more people in. Oh, did you think it was a good call? The refs called it. Cut that shit. It's not the spirit of the sport. It's not the spirit of sport itself, let alone basketball. I say cut it. Let's get this thing over with. Let's get off the foul line and get this thing over with. That's my diatribe. But anyway.
Love it.
I think we're both on the same page. But no, I don't think the refs are getting any worse. I don't think it's an actual their issue. I think it's the game itself.
Microwave's ready.
Yeah, microwave, dishwasher, the whole thing. I mean, it actually, that beeping coincides with time for us to get the fuck out of here. Yeah. Don't you think? Well, this episode's going to be called the No Ball episode. I think it has to be. It
has to be, doesn't it? Oh.
And also, do you really think there's going to be no ball at that tour? Oh. I think there's going to be plenty of ball.
Plenty of ball.
Like, oh. My favourite bit was when Jordan in the... I love playing with Longley's. No, he didn't. Fucking hated him. I can show you footage of Game 5, 1994-95, where you get eliminated by Orlando. You make a play. You pass it down to Longley in the key. Misses a layup. You're giving him the death stare of for the ages. And as a result, Longley never plays in another 5 minutes of the fourth quarter ever as long as you're on the Bulls. I'm like, that's bull. I call bull. Anyway...
this has been the NBA Pocket Podcast.
Wow. Oof. A lot of cursing. Thanks very much, everyone, for listening. Twitter, Patreon, Instagram. We've got all that sort of stuff. Canyon, anything I'm forgetting?
Mastodon.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, what would NBA Pocket...